you're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
I think for me, it's understanding what we need as a team right now in the moment, which is no turnovers, protecting the football, and then being smart with the football. You know, regardless of, you know, what the score is, first half or anything like that, all of our games have come down to the wire. So understanding that, and you know, if I can not turn the ball over and find a way to get those extra points, those, you know, extra 3 points, those extra, you know, the extra seven, you know, removing those interceptions. You know, it helps the team in a long way.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. That is the voice of Caleb Williams, and he was good at the podium yesterday, and he's explaining to you what is expected of him at this point in the season. At this point in the season, I think it's important to understand that, you know, when Eberflus says the most important thing for the quarterback is to protect the ball,
yeah,
that might be the case now. I don't know that I want Caleb Williams trained to protect the ball above all else. I think that you want to talk about taking away someone's aggressiveness. That's how you do it. It's not just about protecting the ball. It's about doing what you got to do to win while also expanding what you can do to help your team win. And eventually the protecting the ball thing will kind of go by the wayside. If you
so
know what I mean.
Was that evidence of coaching or just a natural evolution of a young quarterback? What we heard of maybe it's
I
both.
I think it's evidence of coaching more than the natural inclination of a young quarterback.
I don't think a natural inclination of Caleb Williams seems to be the guy that is that cautious.
No, but he's accepting of the fact that right now, you know, they're 2-2. In the two games where he had two picks in each game, they lost. If he doesn't give the ball up, they're going to win.
He's learning from his mistakes.
Yes, he
At
is.
Least that's the
so
implication.
Far. Yep.
That he's learning from his mistakes because he sounds like a guy that is settling for the check down, going to play it safe rather than bold. And I think at this stage of his career, that's okay. There will come a time when he, as we have said this week, and we said after last week's game, he didn't have to win the Bears the game. He just had to make sure that he wasn't the reason they lost it.
Yeah.
But there's going to come a time. I don't think it will be this Sunday against the Panthers. I don't think it'll be against the Jaguars. But there will come a time where Caleb Williams will have to go out and win a football game.
You're going to need the special, my
You're
friend.
You're going to need the special. Following up before we get to the phone calls on what I mentioned about against the blitz, Patrick Finley spelled this out in the Sun-Times. So through weeks 1-3, when blitzed, Caleb Williams was 13 for 31 for 99 yards, one touchdown, one interception, 47.7 passer rating.
Yep.
On Sunday, in similar situations against the blitz, 7 of 8, 44 yards, check down, short passes, safe. 7 for 8, 44 yards, one touchdown, passer rating, 129.7.
We had a statistic similar to that earlier in the week that we talked about. That was a significant and when we talked about it, the idea being, how do you want to keep teams from blitzing you? Exactly what he did last week.
By scoring
a touchdown, yeah, and by damaging them when they do.
Executing a good screen pass helps too.
Yeah,
that will slow down.
Yes.
A blitz, a slow down, a pass rush, and you're seeing the kind of growth that maybe isn't as great as you wanted to see initially, but it is growth, and he's headed in the right direction rather than backward.
312-644-6767. We'll start with AJ. AJ's in Yorkville. Hey, AJ.
Hey, guys. Fortune just got to work, so it's got to be quick, but
okay.
Curious to see what people are being pretty quick with rushing to conclusion on these guys. If you look back. I don't know too much about it, but the 83 draft, John Elway, taking number one, and then week one, he was pulled in the first half, and then he didn't get his first touchdown until week three, and then after that, things looked pretty good after that. So I think things are okay, and I think people are rushing to conclusion. What are you guys' thoughts on that?
Well, it's obviously way too early to rush to any conclusion, and we've talked about the idea that that young passers struggle in the NFL. It is hard to come into the NFL and be able to do the things that you do. And even C.J. Stroud, it was about halfway through the year last year that he really became a different player and kind of stepped up as a significantly better player. This is early days with Caleb Williams.
I would be reluctant to draw any hard and fast conclusions. I think that we always are in a hurry to arrive at a point where either justifies our prediction or disproves somebody else's. And we want to be right. We want someone else to be wrong and want to say that loudly. Premature, though, to say anything about Caleb Williams that forms a conclusion. It's going to evolve. I think there's no better example in recent history. You can go back to John Elway if you wish. But, Molly, RG3 and Andrew Luck, they were together. Weren't they paired in this? They came out the same year. Andrew Luck and RG3 were compared that rookie season. RG3 had a really good year.
And then blew out his knee and was never heard of.
Was never heard of again. And there are other comparisons to be made, but even if Caleb Williams starts to turn this around and be as good as we thought, it's still going to take time to form any hard and fast conclusions. But it is at least encouraging to see him learn from his mistakes and start to, you know, make some progress and head in the right direction.
Let's try Mike. Mike is on the south side. Hey, Mike.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good.
So just with the Jaden Daniels situation, you know, since he stepped on the field in D.C., mm-hmm. across the league, he was just a wow factor. Like, people on the big network were saying, you got to see this guy play. When we listened to Caleb, you know, talk about Caleb over the summer, it was, he had a pretty good day today. He struggled a little bit against this defense. He was kind of inconsistent, but, the defense is always ahead of the offense.
Right.
My concern is that, and maybe talk me off the ledge, that we're already moving. Maybe we don't have a generational quarterback. We have to move away from that. But maybe we just have a really good quarterback for 10 years. So I think we can all agree we are a little bit disappointed for the first 4 weeks. Like, the whole summer was, oh, my God, this offense is going to be something we've never seen before. And I get it. Offensive line is probably the worst in football. But are we already moving past, we don't have a generational quarterback, but maybe we just have a really good quarterback for the next 10 years. Thanks, guys.
I haven't moved past that. No, I don't think that you have changed your expectations based on what you've seen in the first 4 weeks. I think what you have changed, if anything, is how quickly you thought it might happen. But right. I think it would be premature and I don't want to call it foolish, but I'm not going to caution anybody against thinking as big as they were in August about Caleb Williams' potential. I still think the ceiling is as high as ever.
Ceiling, I believe, is the roof.
Okay.
No, I think that you may have tempered your expectation because it's not going to happen as quickly as you imagined.
But that's what you've tempered, the fact that it would happen as quickly as maybe you thought originally.
But I don't know that we can reach any conclusion as to what kind of player he's going to be or how he's going to be in year two or year three. I think that, you know, part of the problem is that we haven't really watched this happen before. We haven't really – here in Chicago – who was the last quarterback that came in and developed and got better and you watched as they improved the guy and then he reached another level? I'm not sure that we've seen that in Chicago. I don't know that Mitch got significantly better. I don't know that Caleb will. I think he will. I don't know that Justin Fields got significantly better.
He did not.
I don't believe that that Rex Grossman got significantly better.
He did not.
I think that the problem is we're almost conditioned to sort of, you know, wait for the bad part, not the good part. And I think that do yourself a favor and sort of get on board and enjoy the ride a little bit. It will all unfold and it will all happen. I think there's a lot of really good qualities to Caleb Williams. And I think that it's going to happen eventually. I mean,
nobody wants to be patient.
Cutler was the finished product when he got here, right?
It's not an apt comparison because he was a Pro Bowl quarterback when he arrived.
Was 26.
This is a part of a process that Chicago has never really been privy
Sid Luckman,
to or had
probably.
Access to.
Sid Luckman was like a college running back that became a quarterback. I'm just saying.
Nothing about that era.
I don't remember
is
that era.
Nothing about. Really, any era except for the last 10 to 15 years is comparable because of the way quarterbacks are developed and, frankly, rushed right now.
Rushed.
It's a fact of NFL life because of the way that the coaches are paid, because of the pressure they're under, and because of the way they have to accelerate this growth phase. I don't think that if you want to – the callers are asking good questions. The texters certainly are too.
Yes.
But here's the essential question. Through four games, if you want to begin this conversation, through four games, has Caleb Williams done anything that makes you think the Bears can't win a Super Bowl because of him? And I would say that...
Maybe not this year.
Well, nobody expected them to ever win a Super Bowl this year. Nobody expected them to ever really be in contention for a Super Bowl this year.
Believe, if I'm not mistaken, that a certain someone may have predicted that they were going to be a playoff team and make the Super Bowl.
Who would that be?
That would be Dustin William Rhodes.
Okay. He didn't say Super Bowl. He said playoff team.
No, he said specifically.
I don't think so.
They were going to be the Super Bowl champions.
No,
didn't
I don't think
say
so.
That,
no,
Dustin?
He didn't.
Admit
no,
it.
He didn't. No.
Yeah, Brandon's shaking his head. Yes.
If anybody has seen evidence that makes them think twice now about whatever they thought was possible at the beginning of the year, they don't think is possible because of what they've seen in four games, please let us know.
Yeah.
312-644-6767. I would vehemently disagree with that. I don't think it's happened as quickly as people would like in terms of his progress. I've seen some things that have been troubling in terms of accuracy the first 4 weeks, but you still have seen the special on occasion.
I think it's interesting because instead of screaming, anything is possible, I think there are people yelling, nothing's possible. Nothing.
I don't think they're that extreme. I think that there's been a mild disappointment in town.
I don't get that at all. I honestly don't get that. I think they're 2-2.
I think there's been mild disappointment in his play.
Okay, but
especially in comparison to Jaden Daniels, who has been as dynamic as any quarterback in the league.
But I think that this is going about how people kind of would have thought, isn't it?
I don't think so.
Really? You think?
I think that there was an expectation.
You had too high expectations.
Well, you can point the finger at me if you want, but I don't.
You ruined the whole damn thing.
Maybe I'm out in front of it, but I do think that there have been other people that had similarly high expectations that through four games of his NFL career, he's not met. And I think he might be in that group as well. I think he probably expected to have more success than the modest success he has had in starting 2-2.
Well, I think part of it is believing that the team was ready to win, that everything was in place. I think selling this idea that Caleb is coming into a situation that's better than anyone ever has because he has no offensive lineman, that was really kind of a weird thing to sell. Let's try Juan. He's in Rock Island. Hey, Juan.
Hey, first time caller.
Bless you.
Hey, Juan.
We're here.
Make it a habit.
Hey, guys. Okay, hey. I've been trying to. I finally got through, so I'm happy. This is one of my goals in life, get on with you guys. So thank you. Hey, I think Caleb Williams is doing a wonderful job. I mean, all these guys are hating on him. Eventually, this kid's going to pop out really, really well. I mean, every game he's improved. You can't say he hasn't. He has. He's improved. He's going to do the job. I'm looking forward to him taking us to the Super Bowl. I think we're going to the playoffs this year. My mind actually said 12 and 5. That's what I was thinking.
Wow, highly optimistic. Thanks for the phone call, Juan. Make it a habit.
Yeah, definitely.
I believe that Caleb Williams has shown progress in the cerebral part of playing quarterback and the way that he's processed things quickly. Notice what happens when they leave the huddle earlier. Maybe that's him, maybe that's Shane Waldron, but when they leave the huddle earlier, it gives him more time to process. They're asking him to do a lot
they
at
are.
The line of scrimmage to diagnose things that I yes. don't think you would with your typical quarterback. Not only is he ahead in terms of arm talent and being special, I think the way that he just understands the complexity of football and his ability to process things at a rate other quarterbacks can't makes him special.
Let's try Don. Don's on the west side. Hey, Don.
Hey, gentlemen, good morning. And that's a very valid point. That's a great lead into what I wanted to say, man. Like, you know, and I wanted to ask you guys maybe sometime to show if you guys have time just to kind of help break down for us, the fans, the difference between what Jaden Daniels is being asked to do and what Caleb Williams has been asked to do, you know, from my mindset of what I think I'm hearing and seeing is like Jaden Daniels is algebra 2 and, you know, Caleb is in calculus right now. So it's like you just got to be patient, and it's like he's guilty by association. I mean, Caleb being guilty by association by, okay, the Bears quarterback and all the hype. Like, he's still a rookie. He's still got to develop. I feel as though if there wasn't so many high expectations, I think that we would be excited that we have a quarterback that's developing. But given the fact that you got Sam Darnold, you know, who was considered a bust, is going off in Minnesota, you know, Jordan Love ends up being good. You know, Detroit turned everything around. Now it's pressure. You know, everybody wants us to be good. But the thing is that, you know, we will be. We just got to be patient. Like I said a couple weeks ago, like I've been adjusting my lens. Like, okay, it's not about wins and losses as more so is about the development of Caleb Williams. And like you say, you see right. it. You know, you see him coming. Right. You see him coming to the line. He's calling his checks, changing the plays, stuff like that. And then once again, you know, you're coming from a college program where you had control. Now you're in the NFL, like DJ Moore said. Now we got to do things Caleb's way. So, you know, you got to give it a chance. Like, and then I'm going to look within the division. Remember Aaron Rodgers and Devontae Adams. Maybe the first couple of weeks, the Green Bay Packers could have been had. But when they get rolling, they get rolling, you know. So even veterans take time to, you know, get everything, you know, in order. So let alone a rookie that hasn't played since November 18th, he said it himself. And I don't think it's an excuse. I think it's just valid reasoning into why he's having a slow start. So I just call for patience, man. Now, if week 10 comes, he's throwing 4 or 5 interceptions or fumbling the ball, then okay, maybe concern. But I don't think that's going to be the case at all. Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Don.
Good point. I think we need to make it make a point to try to watch some more Commanders games or see what they're doing. As what I have seen and the way it's been described to people who have seen them play, they're running a version of his college offense, which is more adaptable, and maybe why he's succeeding a little bit more. Maybe they're simplifying things in Washington in a way they haven't in Chicago. It's a good point. But here's the other thing. He asked for patience, and I know we get a good text from 708. Nobody wants to be patient, in quotes, says the guy who declared him the greatest quarterback in Bears history before he was drafted. Who's not being patient? Valid. I mean, I think we have built up expectations to a degree where it bothered some people. Maybe people bristle, but I still think that he can meet them.
Yeah, I don't think anything that we have expected from him, I don't feel remotely let down by any of it. I think it's a process. I think it takes a little bit of time, and I think they are moving in a correct fashion. I, you know, 2-2, I'm okay with. They should win the next two games. I think if they get to a point where all of a sudden, you know, you're getting toward the division season and things are going the wrong way, then you got to reassess.
Well, how did we come into the show way back at 5:30? We were talking about what he said yesterday, and he talked about being what? Comfy.
Comfy.
Comfy Caleb. And I think more comfortable, the more comfortable your quarterback is, the more you're going to see things happen naturally. The game is slowing down for him. You can see it at the line of scrimmage. You can see the way he's handling the blitz, the way he's getting the little things. And once he does that, then I think the other stuff will fall into place. What we're seeing early on is kind of the, I don't want to overstate the inaccuracy, but we haven't seen the pinpoint precision that you expected to maybe. So the more comfortable he becomes, the more comfy he is, the better the Bears will be.
He's playing this week in slippers. That's how comfortable he's becoming.
And he's going to get off the team bus in some Bear pajamas.
He's going to be carried off the team bus in a big stuffed chair.
He is Comfy Caleb.
All right. We've got your calls. We're going to get to them next. Bully and Haw on the Score.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
I don't know if that's the case. I think throughout these past couple weeks or 4 weeks, I guess, I've been getting more comfy at just, getting back into the flow of playing football, getting back in the flow of getting up there, making checks, you know, taking a few hits. All of that. I think the biggest thing is just myself, just getting back into the flow. It's a new everything for me, being here. And so getting to the flow, making sure I'm, you know, Shane and I are on the same page that when he calls a play and we have alerts and things like that, that we're on the same page. So, I think that's the biggest thing.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670. The Score, that, of course, the voice of Comfortable Caleb.
He's, I like the way he sounds.
I do too.
I like his press conferences.
I think he sounds so much better and healthier this week than he did last week.
In terms of confidence?
Just in terms of the beating he took. I'm serious. I thought he took too many hits.
So you could hear that last week, kind of a beaten down quarterback.
I think he was a bruised man. Yeah. And I think he came out of the game cleaner, and he's feeling better.
I think he definitely came out of the game cleaner. I think his press conferences typically are
pretty good.
Pretty good, and you see the poise and maturity that he brought to Chicago, that he still exudes. I heard it offered as a possibility that maybe his press conferences haven't been as enjoyable lately. But I think
who would say that?
Or maybe it's not as complete, but I do think that I'm still impressed.
I'm curious as to who.
I don't want to talk out of school. I don't want to talk out of school. I probably said too much already.
He feels like they're boring.
I probably said too much already.
Listen, here's the thing. I feel listening to them, like on the radio as an example,
yes,
like in its entirety, is not a good listen.
You're not learning anything from them?
Part of the problem is I can't really hear what the reporters are asking.
Okay.
And then he's responding, and I'm now curious to what he's responding to. And I think it's almost like there's a little bit too much, like, we're all in this together because we're going to be together for 6 months a year. You know, hey guys, how you doing? Like,
he's too comfortable for you.
Or I think there's a little too
interesting.
Much.
Interesting. I don't sense that
comfiness. Was one of the words? You know, he feels comfy. I want to know what he was asked, and then I want to hear his response.
Okay, that's
and
fair.
I can't hear that when I'm listening to it. I think that's a mistake.
Maybe something the Bears could handle with a live mic.
But he was asked specifically, Caleb, what is it that you have to do from now on first down, especially early in the game, to assure, and his response was, oh, I'm feeling more comfortable. That's what you're suggesting. That he's just answering willy-nilly, not what's
almost
asked.
Like he's listening to watched the recent debates, and a question is asked, and you just decide to take off in any direction you please.
I don't think so. I don't think he's doing that. I think he's actually...
To be fair, I can't hear the question.
He's a rookie quarterback in a market that's obsessed with football, and he has now the responsibility almost that every week he appears and people hang on his every word.
Caleb, what's the problem with the blitz that you face? They're eating the dogs!
No, not that.
Is that what he said?
Not that. Oh. No. I believe he's handled himself really well. I think the poise and polish that he has is one of the biggest strengths and the reason why you feel pretty good about his ability to handle adversity. And I do think that, for lack of a better comparison... The most recent comparison, Justin Fields had a different public persona. He had a different presence in situations like we're describing, and frankly wasn't as polished as Caleb Williams is. And so I don't think that from a press conference perspective there's anything to complain about, with due respect.
The dog I'm referring to is the red dog.
Okay.
Here's the texter. My take on Caleb is that I'm worried about him. I'm a bit worried for him. I understand why they kept Eberflus, but when you look at the head coaches of the Packers, the Vikings, it's hard to imagine that Caleb could be what Caleb might be with a coach of their caliber.
Well, that's a fair question because you do look in, in the division and you have two offensive-minded head coaches in Kevin O'Connell and Matt LaFleur, and you have one of the hottest young offensive coordinators in the NFL in Ben Johnson in Detroit. Yes. And in Chicago, you have a defensive-minded head coach in Matt Eberflus, who was given a reprieve, and an offensive coordinator in Shane Waldron that still has a lot to prove. We're going to hear him from him this afternoon.
Oh, boy.
And I think that – you see,
I shuddered for a moment. That's now there's a news conference I don't enjoy.
You don't want him to shudder for a moment at all.
No.
You want to hear confidence. You want to hear command. And frankly, he could learn from his quarterback in terms of how he handles the Bears media and the questions that he prepares for. Because as we heard last year, this isn't just a media thing, Mully. I think before we get to the phone calls, this Bears repeating or reminding people, Bears players brought this to the forefront last week.
Oh boy.
Perception affecting reality, and the way that they perceived Shane Waldron and his approach, his communication to them, was something they felt like they needed to address with him.
Yeah.
They had a
guy who plays 21% of the plays that, you know,
he pulled back the curtain.
Yeah, a little bit too much.
A little bit too much.
Help.
Big dog.
Big dog.
There's your big dog.
That's your bets. The blitz. They're eating the big dog.
Shout out to big dog.
Tim is in Naperville. Hey, Tim.
Good morning, guys. I think what puzzles me, and you guys have done this a long time, is and I know you have to have things to talk about, but why have any expectations of college quarterbacks when they've yet to play in the NFL? And what I mean by that is the game is so faster. It's so much more complex. And you have coordinators who go to bed at night dreaming about making them look in that. You got to give me a second. But again,
Tim, I just want to say one thing, and you can finish your point. He's playing. The problem is that they got to get on the field, that they got to play. That's the problem with the college quarterback. If only there was time for him to learn these things before he played. This isn't Green Bay. You can't sit 3 years and then let's find out what he can do. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, it's not about sitting. It's about not really having expectations until you see them play 8, 9, 10 games, because what they saw in college is not going to be anything like they see in the pros. It's just not, and it takes time. And the truth is, we've never really seen a quarterback develop in this town, so we don't really know what it looks like. And from my vantage point, I think we have a good one here, and I think he's doing just fine, and I think it's going to take time, and I think he's growing every week. And I just what scares me about these, first of all, these guys are kids, man. And what scares me is that many of us, even in sports media, we're just waiting for an opportunity to jump off of their bandwagon and kick them when they're down. We're just waiting. And you know that's true.
Thanks, Tim. That's not unfair. I think what you say, there's a lot of truth to that. A lot of people do want to jump off and begin to criticize because it becomes easier. What happens, though, I think, in terms of whether the realities of the NFL rushing these guys to the field, that's one thing because the coaches make so much and there's so much pressure on them. But here's another. I think when you look at the exceptions like C.J. Stroud, or you look at a quarterback who comes into the league and, you know, pick your rookie quarterback example that you wish, they are the exceptions to the rule. But we want those exceptions to become the rule in your city for your team. So you look at C.J. Stroud last year and you see Caleb Williams coming to the Bears, you think, well, maybe it doesn't happen all the time, but he can do that because C.J. Stroud did, and you get excited. And the way that prospects, draft picks are presented, the NFL draft is the biggest night of the NFL season besides the Super Bowl, right?
Right. It's big, big time.
You're selling hope. Everybody loves buying that. And so I think what happens is that the expectations become outsized once these guys arrive, and we're dealing with that right now in Chicago.
Well, I think expectations are driven by two things. The amount of money a guy makes and the investment you put into getting him. So if you are a first overall draft pick and you are paid as a first overall draft pick, even if you haven't reached the kind of money that is out there for you, should you be good enough, then you're going to have expectations. That is just the reality of the investment you make in people. That creates the expectation. And if this works out, they will be giving this guy, who knows, $300, $400 million. Who knows how much it's going to be by the time he's ready to take on the second contract.
But it's a good phone call. It is just human nature, too, to get a little carried away because things have been so bad for so long at the same position for the Bears. And when you have somebody who is as fresh and new and talented as Caleb Williams, you want to be part of that. And I think it gets people excited.
Let's try Dean. He's in Morton Grove. Hey, Dean.
Hey, I agree with you guys, and I agree with that last caller. I think that what we are seeing here is somebody who is learning to master the job. And I think the conflict for a lot of fans is they kind of want the fireworks. They want a human highlight film, maybe like Justin Fields, but then they forget, you know, they didn't like when he didn't win. So, you know, we've had the discussion about do we want a game manager or generational talent? You know, I think we want both, but I think their, you know, competency is a thing. He's got to learn to master the job, and it seems to be going in that direction.
Good phone call. It does take time, Dean, and patience is not something that is
any of us have
in abundance. When you're talking about a fan base that has seen this team go, it'll be 14 years in January since the last playoff victory. So that's way too long. And when you see somebody who's capable of leading your team to the playoffs, like Caleb Williams, we think is, you get a little ahead of yourself, perhaps.
Tim's on the road. Hey, Tim.
Hey, first time caller, long time listener. I'm just baffled by why I'm hearing this morning. I mean, you drafted this guy number one to win football games. You didn't draft him to develop him. He should be developed already. Guy has been playing football his whole life since he's been a kid. And now I'm hearing people say, I'm not interested in wins. I'm just interested in developing Caleb Williams. I mean, either you're good or you're not good. I mean, C.J. Stroud is good. I mean, Peyton Manning was good. Aaron Rodgers, good. Tom Brady, good. I don't remember a developmental process with any of those guys. They came in and played in one game. I'm just not sure what I'm hearing.
That's a little inaccurate. Thanks for the phone call.
I mean,
Aaron Rodgers had 3 years to develop.
Lost a lot of time.
Peyton Manning set a rookie record for interceptions.
Yeah.
Tom Brady was lucky
to
be.
Didn't play until his second year, right?
He got into the game because of an injury to Drew Bledsoe.
But they kind of used him as a game manager, and then he developed into Tom Brady.
The pressure was different. I don't think that it's wrong to want to develop your quarterback, nor is it wrong to want to win games. But this is part – that call reflects sometimes the mentality of an NFL front office that is maybe the wrong way to approach quarterback development. You can't be hasty. The Bears are in a situation where he is the best option. They can develop him, but they also have a team that's ready to win now. That's why we have described it as – one of the best situations for a rookie quarterback to come into.
All right, we're going to bring in Nick Kostos. He is the man that has all the wagering information.
He'll prop king.
He's also the prop king. He'll give us a wager for tonight's game, but Dustin will write down his little prop bet, and he'll hold him to it because Dustin will invest pretty much his children's education fund. Really? Don't do that, buddy. Nick Kostos next, Mullion Hall on the Score.
I want winners.
Mullion Hall, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. On the line is the host of You Better You Bet, Odyssey Sports Betting Insider, Nick Kostos. Insider calls are brought to you by BetMGM. Go ahead, check out all the latest lines today on the BetMGM app. Also, be sure to listen to the You Better You Bet podcast for more analysis. Just search You Better You Bet wherever you get your podcast. And Nick joins us now on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire. Check them out at Aturo.com. Nick, good morning. How are you?
What's going on, guys? How are we doing today?
Doing well. All right. We have the Bears on the midst in the Bears. Midst of preparing for a big game against the Panthers. Big game here, Nick. But we have Thursday Night Football first to consider. What are you expecting from Bucks Falcons tonight?
I got a couple prop bets here that I really like for the game. If I had to bet the game, I would lay Atlanta, like lay the 1.5 with the Falcons. But I don't have to do that. So I do have some prop thoughts that I like, and I hope Dustin has his pen out because I think we actually have like a good anytime touchdown opportunity in this game at BetMGM. So we'll do that first. So at BetMGM right now, if you guys click on Buccaneers Falcons and go to the touchdown scorers tab, Trey Palmer and Jalen McMillan are Tampa's like number 3 and number 4 receivers. Todd Bowles, Buccaneers head coach, said both are out. Like neither one's going to play in tonight's game. So that would mean former Giant Sterling Shepard will be the number 3 receiver for Tampa behind Mike Evans and Chris Godwin. And Trey Palmer is still priced in this market, meaning that once he's officially declared out, even though the coach said he was out, the Sterling Shepard price is going to move, currently plus 500. Not a guarantee that he scores. I think it's a bet worth making. And then two yardage props for tonight. I like both backup running backs in the game. So for Tampa, that's Bucky Irving. And for Atlanta, that's Tyler Algier. Bijan Robinson's off the injury report, but he's still nursing this injured shoulder. Algier's cutting into his workload. And Bucky Irving is better than Rashad White. So I like both overs on the backup running backs in the game. Bucky Irving over rushing yards for Tampa, and Tyler Algier over rushing yards for the Atlanta Falcons.
What do you think of the game in London? Is that one you're looking forward to, or do you care?
Oh, well, I care about all the games. Yes. And, you know, I hate to say this because, you know, I have a 5-month-old daughter. I love her very much. And I feel like I need to apologize to her because I like the Jets in this game against the Minnesota Vikings. And it feels terrible to say that out loud, but I do like the Jets in the game. Now, the number at BetMGM is 2.5, and we have seen this almost hit 3 for Vikings-Jets. 3 would be the buy point if you agree with me and you like the Jets in the game. I feel like this is selling high on Minnesota with Sam Darnold and the Vikings at the top of the market, and we are buying way low on the Jets after the terrible effort against Denver last week. So I do like the Jets. I would like to get plus 3 in order to make the bet.
We know what you think of Matt Eberflus. We know what you think of sometimes the way the Bears are coached and put together. But what do you think about any opportunities this weekend when the Bears play the Panthers?
Yeah, I like the over. And I think Caleb Williams is starting to play better now. And I don't need to tell you guys this, right? But he's missing on way too many passes down the field where, like, guys are open in the end zone. Guys are open down the field. Caleb overthrows them. I think that as Caleb continues to settle in here, like, not every rookie quarterback is Jaden Daniels or C.J. Stroud. I think Caleb's going to be just fine. The weapons are really good, obviously. And I think Carolina is going to be the worst defense they've played. So I'm expecting the Bears to have some offensive success this weekend. I like Roma Dunsay this weekend, DJ Moore in a revenge game. And on the flip side, I do like this Bears defense. The Bears have an above-average defense for sure. Maybe a top-10 defense when it's all said and done. But Carolina's offense is moving the ball right now. Revenge game for Andy Dalton. Hashtag QB1 from back in the day in Chicago. So I do think Carolina can score as well. Let's go over, guys. Any number that's below 44, 43.5, 43, over with the Bears and the Panthers on Sunday.
Do you like any, well, you like every game, but the college slate this weekend isn't, it's not like last week. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, so how about I'll give you one here locally for you guys, and I'm trying to get my screen to load here just so I give you the right point spread with the Northwestern-Indiana game where Indiana, and like my screen keeps crashing here. I'm guessing it's like Indiana like around like a 2-touchdown favorite. I'd like to sell Indiana, and Indiana's been awesome with Kurt Cignetti. They've been great, now ranked like a national story, Indiana is. I like to sell teams at this point. I'll take the points with Northwestern coming up this weekend.
How about baseball, Nick? You got any thoughts on Yankees Royals?
I got thoughts on basically everything going on in baseball. I'm a little concerned about the Mets tonight. If you're going to be a team of destiny, which I thought they might be, you kind of have to sweep the wild card series and not like get bulldozed in the eighth inning like they did last night. I'll bet the Mets tonight against the Milwaukee Brewers, and we'll see how that goes. As far as the other three series, everybody is going to bet the Padres to beat the Dodgers, and I think everybody's right. The Dodgers have horrible starting pitching. Like, if the Dodgers win the series, I will bet against them. Whoever makes it to the NLCS to play them. So Padres series is a bet for me against the Dodgers. I actually think the Tigers should be a small favorite over the Guardians. I think all the non-Tarik Skubal, who's going to win AL Cy Young, all of his non-starts are like 50-50 coin flips, and the games that he does start, I think the Tigers have a huge advantage. So I'll bet the Tigers at plus money against the Cleveland Guardians to advance to the ALCS. And like, the Yankees should win this. The Yankees are better than the Royals. I'm a Yankee fan. The thing that worries me, Kansas City starting pitching is definitely better than the Yankees. So like gun to my head, like, have to save like my family's life, I would take the Yankees. But with betting, you have to take price into the equation. I would never lay that price with the Yankees. And if you're looking to bet this series, honestly, I think there is value betting Kansas City because the Royals have the better starting rotation and the Yankees bats. What have we seen in the last 15 years? Why they haven't won a World Series? They always go cold in October and make me want to slam my head into the wall.
You're the best, Nick. Thank you, buddy.
Thanks, Nick.
Wishing you guys minimal sweats, winning bets, the absolute very best of luck. Let's go Caleb on Sunday. Let's go Yankees on Saturday.
That right. was the host of You Better You Bet, Odyssey Sports Betting Insider, Nick Costos. Insider calls are presented by BetMGM. Go check out all the latest lines today on the BetMGM app.
He's just like you, picking the Padres. You and Nick, kindred spirits.
Why are you always picking
They're your
me?
Team.
Why are you always picking against me? Brian Baldinger will join us next. We'll talk to Baldy about the challenge the Bears face this week. Is it a challenge? We'll ask him. Mully and Hawn, The Score.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.